Today's podcast is sponsored by Lyft. Hey, if you're just riding around listening to today's podcast, you could get a $500 new driver bonus when you sign up to be a driver for Lyft. Just go to Lyft.com/RHAP for more information. That's $500 bonus when you sign up to be a driver for Lyft at Lyft.com/RHAP. I'm Rob Sesternino, and we are back to talk about the internet's most interesting news stories for the week of Tuesday, November 8th, 2016.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be news AF. If the single news makes you bored to death, it's time for some news AF.
That's
factual,
right.
Factual news.
Yes, news AF, your trusted news source here on Tuesday, November 8th, 2016, Election Day here in the United States of America. And here to report on the exit polling in Utah, Tyson Apostle. Tyson, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Last day update I had, which was last night as I Googled election results, I saw it seems like Donald Trump is leading the way in Utah with Evan McMullen in second.
Okay.
Danny, do you have an update of those stats this morning?
Tyson, yes, I can hear you. It appears that people are going to buildings across the state and casting their votes. That much I know.
Okay.
That's Danny out.
Yes, it's infuriating watching news coverage this morning that it basically is all. I've watched a lot of it. It's just like, hey, let's go to this person and like, okay. I'm here in this polling place right now. And you see behind me, there are people lined up getting ready to vote, to cast their ballots. You see over here, here are voting machines. People are going to go in there and they're going to cast their ballot for one of the candidates here at this hour. Like, this is not news.
You know, Justin Timberlake posted a picture of him inside the voting booth.
That's illegal.
And yeah, he almost got in serious trouble, but luckily he's a celebrity, so nothing happened.
Why can't you post a picture of you in a voting booth? Just one of those laws.
It's indecent.
Yeah. It's like why chickens can't wear pants in Alabama.
Or yeah, exactly. Or why you can't keep a rooster inside your house past 9 p.m.
Yeah, it's a secret. It's supposed to be a secret. It's supposed to be a secret, I think. It's supposed to be a surprise. You're ruining the election for everybody.
Oh.
You're not allowed to see what the booth looks like until you get into that booth.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
That's right. That's right. You know, it's very tricky, all these rules, but as the election results are pouring in over this next hour, we will be continually updating you on any pertinent election news that comes across the wire.
So we won't be updating you at all?
Probably not. I mean, unless somebody texts us like breaking news about what's going on.
No, no, this should be an election zone safe space.
Okay, that's what I look at a lot of the podcasts I do as. That's why I try not to get too political, unless it's like stupid political, like Ken Bone.
Yeah, in that case, it's all pretty stupid political. But let's just move on, because you don't want me to go down that cynical, dark,
yes,
anti-political.
That's right.
Whatever. Yep.
That's right. All right. So let's not go there. Let's talk about something that is equally infuriating. Danny, have you been following what's been going on with the mannequin challenge?
Okay. First of all, I spent some time a couple of days ago looking through posts of the mannequin challenge, and I just didn't see it. I just don't see why people care. The ice bucket challenge, planking, they were something visually. This is just people acting like statues, which is basically what pictures are anyway. People in a frozen position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The mannequin challenge is a picture.
It's a picture. Mm-hmm. The picture challenge.
Yeah. But with using the video function on your phone.
That's right.
Oh, wow. Wow. You've really upped the game here. Come on. Are we losing our creativity as a species?
Yes.
Well, yeah. Well, I think the millennial trends have never impressed anyone older than 30, right?
Yes. Well, the mannequin challenge has come, and I think it's over at this point, because
it's
was watching this morning, they had on the news, as again, I've watched a lot of cable news coverage, Hillary Clinton and her entire staff last night participated in the mannequin challenge.
No. Several states have on their ballot a proposition that will mean that if it passes, the mannequin challenge will result in death.
Yes.
Execution. So yes. Get out there and vote for that anti-mannequin challenge initiative.
I usually say with these fads, by the time I know about it, it's officially over. But I think that at the point where Hillary and John Bon Jovi are doing it, it's officially over.
If Hillary, who is a known BlackBerry phone owner, is doing it, the trend has peaked.
That's it.
And is on the downward spiral.
That's it. It's not cool anymore at that point.
Yeah, if man. The person doing it owns a BlackBerry, it's done.
With all due respect.
Did you see when Hills quoted Jay-Z? That was cool.
Oh, no, I did not see that. Yes.
I bet you he texted her right after that and said, please don't.
What was the quote? What was the quote?
It was one of her rallies. And it was they covered it on Last Week Tonight.
Yes. Yes. Which quote was it?
The quote was something like,
you've got 99 problems, but this bitch ain't one.
No, Rosa Parks sat so Martin Luther King could stand. Martin Luther King stood so Barack Obama could run. Barack Obama ran so the children could fly.
Children could fly? That sounds dangerous.
Whoa.
Yeah, something like that.
Did Obama invent rocket packs? Great.
Yes.
Yeah. And Jamie Oliver said that.
Jamie Oliver,
the food guy. No. John Oliver said that Hillary Clinton is the Hillary Clinton of rapping. Which is pretty good.
That's look. I don't want to get on any of the political candidates, but they should just stick to politics, not to rapping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or to mannequin challenges or touching anything that is culturally trendy.
Right. Because they ruin it. They ruin it.
I thought you were going to go somewhere else with the touching.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah.
You know, what they should do is they should have some kind of online chart. And when a trend starts, they should show the trend moving through demographics. So once it gets to people who are like in the 30 to 35, you know that it's going to taper off. And then everyone at that point, we can all watch the trend rise up like a phoenix and then flame out.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's it. All right. Let's get into some of these news items that we have to talk about. A lot of people have been very interested in this story this week about a real life snake on a plane. Tyson, you've traveled around the world many times. Have you ever been faced with a real life snake on a plane?
Not on a plane, no, but I have been faced with a real life snake.
Oh, yes. So,
but that's different.
Sure.
Because you're not and in a contained a tube. Yeah. And I have been on a plane. Yeah. So if I combine those two experiences in my mind, then I can imagine the snake. Where was this, in Australia?
No, this was on a flight to Mexico.
From?
Good guess.
Yes. The flight originated in where was that? I would imagine it was originating in the U.S., but let me confirm that.
Because it was a venomous snake.
Yes.
So I would be terrified of a venomous snake on a plane, but a non-venomous snake on a plane, I wouldn't be as scared of.
Yeah,
it'd be nice and cuddly.
Yeah, I don't know if that rings true with everyone, but definitely for me, I'm fine with a non-venomous snake from time to time.
Danny, how would you handle this? The problem is,
I don't know what snake is venomous and which one is not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think the safe play is to assume that all snakes are venomous, and then chances are you won't be bitten when you mistakenly pet a venomous snake.
That's true.
So, I'm not going to manhandle a non-venomous snake.
I know.
If an expert's that's not poisonous, I'll be like, cool, then he can just stay there. That's fine.
Yeah, you pet your poisonous snake and you're a goner.
Wait, Tyson, wouldn't handle a snake unless it was venomous?
I don't handle either snakes, but I'm cool being close to a non-venomous snake. That's not a problem for me.
Yeah. I don't think I'd want to really dabble with either. I mean, I just like, I don't, what's the upside here? I mean, do I look cool if I am holding a snake?
It's one of God's beautiful creatures, man.
I'm not going to look cool with any snake. I mean, you could put I could be carrying a whole anaconda. And nobody's going to say, wow, that's a good look for Rob.
if anything,
yeah, but why
people
do people
will stay away?
Why
from
do people
you?
Go on safari to see animals, dude? If you can see like a non-venomous snake, that's like one more thing you got to see in your life.
Nah, I mean,
okay,
you know, I don't think I'm going to be on my deathbed like, boy, I wish I spent more time handling snakes.
Not handling.
We're looking at them.
There's religions for that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They're, I'm with Rob. I'm not going to die regretting.
Hashtag I'm with Rob.
Yes. Please get it going.
Not gonna, I don't regret all the snakes I didn't handle.
That's
right. Tyson, Tyson, you love handling other people's snakes, but yeah. I'm not into snake handling.
Yeah, I'll handle anybody's snake.
Yeah.
No, the thing is, but if I'm hiking in the jungle somewhere, I'm always hopeful to see a snake, even a poisonous snake, as long as I can see it before it sees me.
Mm-hmm. So the flight, just to give a little some details on this, is a flight from intercontinental, right? Or intercountry. It was a flight from Mexico to Mexico
A domestic flight.
Domestic flight is the word. Flight. Yes. Thank you, Tyson. From Torreon, Mexico to another destination in Mexico. So it was a Mexican snake.
Well, as long as that wall gets built, this will never happen in the U.S.
Well, none of the snakes plane will can get fly over the wall, though.
What?
Yeah.
Planes will get over it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's going to be that high that a plane can't fly over it.
Okay.
And plus, well, it's probably not so high that you couldn't pick up a snake like this and toss it like a tomahawk over the fence. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to start some kind of biological warfare by throwing non-indigenous snakes into America.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay. Well, that no sign of Samuel L. Jackson on this. It was not a whole altercation where we needed a team of forces to take down all of the snakes. It seemed like this was just an isolated incident.
Sammy's constant yelling would probably annoy me more than the snake.
Yeah.
Would it annoy the snake more than...
Yes. The snake would open the air hatch and leap out just to get away from Sam.
Danny, has it been reported how the snake got on the plane?
Yeah, it didn't have a boarding pass, probably.
Probably not, right.
If snakes can get through without boarding passes, are we in danger?
Hmm. So you think that this is an immigration issue, Tyson?
Well, I mean, it's more of a safety issue. I mean, this snake hasn't been screened. It probably doesn't have a boarding pass. It didn't pay the fees. There's no, I bet it doesn't have an ID. We don't even know who, where, or why this snake was there.
Right. You can't fingerprint
the snake.
Seriously,
though, how did it get on?
Yeah. It's a mystery. Nobody knows. Did a passenger bring it?
I bet it slithered.
Yeah.
I know, but did it come up the wheels? I mean, did it come just straight up the stairs? Was it in luggage? Is it really, are airplanes really that porous that a snake could come up the wheel and somehow get into the main cabin? That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, well, how did it happen in the movie? Tyson, did you see that movie?
I did not see the movie, but I wish I would have. Yeah, I never saw the movie.
Yes.
I'll watch it.
Because you and I podcast about Piranha 3DD. I thought you were an expert in these films.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably a great film, but have you seen it before?
No.
Have you seen that film before?
No, I haven't seen it.
So you think we need to watch it this coming summer?
I mean, what is it like? Are we up to the 10-year anniversary of this film? Is there a Blu-ray coming out? Was this a publicity stunt?
Yeah. No.
You always have to be careful with
interesting
stuff like this.
Yeah, you always do.
Yeah. I think it could be 10 years since Snakes on a Plane. Yeah, 2006. This is too much. I think that this is a actual craptual story.
It was in 2006.
Snake was planted. Yeah. At 10-year anniversary of Snakes on a Plane.
The marketing team over there at Snakes on a Plane, they got this snake on the plane to stir a little bit of some news.
Yep,
drive some traffic
talking about
back
it.
To their
I'm
movie.
Not buying it. I'm not buying it. I'm out.
They got us. Sorry.
Okay. Let's go back.
Wait, we got more snake stories.
Oh, what else is going on? More publicity for snakes on a plane?
No. Oh. This morning, a viral thread from last night's airing of Planet Earth 2 on the BBC. There was footage that's now all over Facebook. You can see it everywhere. It's a baby iguana on the beach. And then the scene is like this one snake slithers up to try and get it. spooks the iguana. As it's running, snakes are coming out of everywhere trying to get this baby iguana. At one point, like four snakes wrap it up. It wriggles free. And as it's climbing up these rocks, snakes are just like striking at it and just like barely missing it, like air whiffing. Yes. And it finally gets free and takes off. But everybody's like flipping out about this video because it's so crazy with the amount of snakes and how they're like kind of hunting in a pack.
Yeah. Next we'll see them building tools.
Yeah.
It's like 2001.
They're evolving.
Yeah.
But here's the crazy thing, Rob. How the f*** did that iguana get in that predicament in the first place?
Good question.
Like how did he just walked in and the snakes were like, yeah, just walk in here. It's no problem. Free entry.
Mm-hmm.
It's free entry.
I think that the iguana was just sunning himself. It was a great spot for sunning.
Yeah, but the snakes are there when he enters, right? So why did he not deal with the snake battle on the way in? That's what I'm
saying.
Because
snake teamwork was a brand new thing, and he thought, I can outrun one snake, but he didn't plan on having to outrun 100. This is new to him, Tyson.
Yeah, but when he enters the zone, how come the snakes weren't chasing him on the way in when he was heading to the beach to sun himself? Do you see what I'm saying?
You're saying that they've reached a new degree of intelligence where they were able to wait in surprise?
Yes, they set a trap for him.
Wow.
That's pretty smart. Gosh.
So maybe the snake did get on the plane using intelligence and didn't just absentmindedly slither on.
So you think this snake is connected with the BBC snakes?
I'm getting a little bit worried here, but I think that the iguana, did he live? Did the iguana live? Or do we not know the fate?
No, the iguana, I think, lived. It looked like it took a bite when it got wrapped up, and I don't know if the snakes were poisonous or not.
Okay.
So it took off, and the last we see of it is escaping. But like I said, I can't tell.
All right. Well, more on the plight of the iguana as this story develops as well.
We need to get someone down there to look for that iguana.
Yes. Yes. let's talk about the plight of two blokes over in Australia. Two pranksters have been reprimanded this week after posing as members of the Australian golf team to enter a tournament in North Korea. The pair, who are actually polo players, were competing in China and successfully entered the country for 2 days last month. They've gained international fame, and North Korea has just demanded they make a public apology on North Korean television, which the two declined. So, Danny, does this seem like something that you and Tyson might be interested in doing?
Here is the best part of this story. When I saw it, I was most impressed with the fact that, first of all, they snuck into it incredibly dangerous. I mean, you're risking torture, you're risking imprisonment, maybe working in one of their mines without any food. But they didn't get caught until their caddy noticed that they both really sucked. And the caddy told these two guys, you bring great dishonor to your family. Like, they played golf so bad, they dishonored themselves by playing that poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how they got out, because once they were found out by the caddy, you think he would have told whatever secret police were following these two, and they would have been immediately arrested. It's a miracle that they got out.
It is a miracle. Tyson, is this the kind of prank that you might be interested in perpetrating, or is this not crazy enough for you?
I think it's too crazy for me.
Crazy.
Yeah, I agree with Tyson.
I like it. I like the prank. Like, it's baller, but the repercussions are too much.
Yeah, this is a pretty big step for Tyson, who goes from jumping behind doors to scare people to traveling to North Korea to fake the officials there and play golf.
Yeah, what's the upside?
It's a pretty big step.
Yes.
That's the upside. The upside is they got out and they're like, we got to see North Korea. Not very many people do. And we did it by illegally, which North Korea is probably going to be upset about.
Right.
You just pranked one of the most dangerous, tyrants or whatever in the known world. So that's pretty big.
Mm-hmm. What's so great about that, though?
Well, if you're in the prank community, maybe they put you on some kind of online list as top five pranksters.
Top
these
five
two
pranksters.
Guys are on it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That doesn't seem that great to me. I mean, like, what's in North Korea? Why do you want to get in there? Do they have anything good?
I got a new hotel. It looks pretty not great, but that's something.
Yeah. I don't know. It's,
yeah, that is something.
Like, am I missing the joke about what's so funny here, Tyson?
It's not so much funny as, like, I think it is really, like, some people want to see North Korea. You see, like, crazy footage of North Korea, and to be able to get into the country and look around is kind of a rare honor.
I mean,
that's what I think. I don't think it was, I don't think the prank was supposed to be hilarious. The prank was like, we got in, like, remember that guy in the 70s who used to, like, dress as a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader and get out on the field and stuff?
Yeah.
Like, it's not absolutely hilarious. It's just the fact that it can be done is what intrigues people.
Yeah.
It's like Ocean's 11.
Right.
Yeah.
Plus, you're not thinking like an Australian, Rob. In Australia, this probably was huge. Everybody was laughing. Australia collectively laughed.
Yes. Well, it's been well documented that that I don't always understand what Australians are thinking, because that I've studied Australian Survivor, and I still don't understand what happened there, Tyson. Is this mateship? Is this part of mateship?
Mateship?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just two best friends?
Yes. See, I don't have any friends. That's why I don't understand. So no, if I had a best friend, and then this would be like, oh, this would be such good mateship if me and him went, or me and her, went to go and sneak into a dictatorship and then say that we were golfers and then like horse around and then leave.
Yeah, like a modern day Coconut Bandits.
Plus, they're going to get a movie made out of this for sure. Whether it's made for TV or not, I'm not 100%, but they're going to get a movie deal. They're going to get a book deal. Who knows? This could be their ticket to retirement.
Okay.
And North Korea demanded that they make a public apology, which they respectfully declined.
Yes.
Did we already talk about that?
No, we did not.
North Korea demanded that they apologize for their actions. And they were like, no, we're not going to.
They said no.
They don't regret it at all.
Yeah. I don't even think they're sorry.
I'm going to tell you right now, those of you who are thinking of punking North Korea in the future, like pretending you're an equestrian when you're not, and going over there for like a horse jumping contest, now they're onto it. So don't do it. All those people who had those pranks planned, they need to cancel them right now before they're sent to the gulag.
Get out. Just get out now while you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Let's talk about the story with a happy ending. Not like that. Hunter Jobbins is a young man who had something tragic in his life. He had a Kit Kat bar in his car, and a man went in his car and stole his Kit Kat, but he did leave a note at the very least. And the note said, saw a Kit Kat in your cup holder. I love Kit Kats. And so I checked your door and it was unlocked. And, not to be anything other than, or I didn't take anything other than the Kit Kat, and I'm sorry and hungry. The man did have terrible penmanship.
Probably a doctor.
Probably it could be a doctor. Yeah.
A left-handed doctor.
I'd started at all the local hospitals. Yeah. And people there.
Interviewing all the left-handed doctors.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So first part of this story, Danny, was this guy asking for trouble leaving a Kit Kat in a car? I mean, isn't that a recipe
for sure.
Yeah. Disaster.
Because that Kit Kat's going to melt.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, that's stupid. Why are you leaving the Kit Kat out in the open where it could melt and basically ruin the Kit Kat?
Right. It's well documented. A Kit Kat melts at about 65 degrees Fahrenheit. It is the most meltable candy.
Yeah, it's very high. Like, you can't touch the outside of a Kit Kat for more than 2 seconds without it melting in your hand.
You breathe on a Kit Kat, the whole thing is just liquid.
Yeah.
And the minute a candy bar has melted, it changes its chemical mix-up or something because...
As it re-solidifies.
Yeah, it becomes unedible. Unedible.
It's ashy. It gets all ashy, dude.
Disgusting.
You have to throw it away. So,
yeah.
So this guy... Probably the thief did him a favor. He's like, hey, I ate this Kit Kat before it was going to go to waste by the sun.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
great American.
It was a mutually beneficial relationship. The man left a Kit Kat melting in his car. Another man walked by and said, I'll save this Kit Kat, much like a hero would save a dog in a locked car in a parking lot. Yes.
Or a kid. It's the same
or
thing.
Or a kid. Or
it's
a child.
It's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And instead of fortunately, he left his car unlocked because smashed windows would have been a whole nother thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man. A whole new level of heroism.
Right.
I can't believe this man had the presence of mind to check the door instead of just going
smashing
straight for the smash.
In a fit of just, you know,
yeah. In those instances, I don't know that I would be calm and collected enough to check the door.
Yeah.
I mean, oh shiz, there's a Kit Kat melting. Smash. Yeah.
This is a hero.
Oh, I'm a hero.
So this little complainer at Jabins on Twitter, then
I know what happened to him.
What, you know him?
No, but I know what happened to him. Child Protective Services probably paid him a visit.
Mm-hmm. Candy Bar Protective Services, yeah.
No, and instead of saying that you are unfit to ever have Kit Kats ever again, the geniuses at Kit Kat said, hey, I know what we should do. Let's give him 6,500 Kit Kat bars, and they put them all not in his refrigerator, not in his freezer where they belong.
No, not his
car full of more Kit Kats.
And they all had to be thrown in the garbage immediately.
Right.
This is madness. You know, $150 billion worth of food is wasted in America every year. That's a fair chunk right there.
Yeah, it makes me sick to think of the way in the future when people look back and say, I can't believe they treated Kit Kats like that.
Yeah. It's like if there was a guy who kept a dog in a car, some hero comes along, takes the dog out of the hot car, and the ASPCA says, oh, we're so sorry, your dog got stolen. Here's 6,000 more dogs that we're going to put back in your car.
Just cram them in his car.
Yeah.
And while he's like in work.
What would he have to have? Like a clown car? To mm-hmm. fit that many.
Doesn't matter. When he comes out, he's going to have
maybe like an Odyssey.
Broiled
ooh.
Dog meat to eat.
Yeah. Could you fit that many dogs?
Everything about this is wrong. The hero here is the anonymous Kit Kat savior.
Yes, that left a note.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't like going crazy. Like, I know that Kit Kat was around here somewhere.
Yeah.
So Kit Kat tweeted out in all their infinite wisdom, keep your Kit Kat thief at Jabins now has all the candy. # Kit Kat thief.
By the way, Hunter Jobbins sounds like a hobbit name.
Yeah.
Hunter Jobbins
mm-hmm.
from
you
the
think
Shire.
He's Bilbo Baggins' grandson.
Yeah, cousin.
Yeah. So in his original tweet, Hunter Jobbins tweeted out, left my car for maybe 15 minutes in front of the dorms, and I come back to this. And shows the note. Yeah, right. 15 minutes.
It's too long.
That's
anyways.
What I would say. I just popped in.
Right. Was probably left unattended for hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he probably didn't even drive around looking for shade or crack the windows.
Or put it in the glove box or put it on the floor of the car in the shade.
Mm-hmm. Or with the Honda Odyssey, there's a cool box in the center console.
Oh, is there
really?
Should
have bought him a Honda Odyssey.
Yeah.
Kit Kat should have bought him a Honda Odyssey and then put all the Kit Kats in there and said, this is how you treat a Kit Kat, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He doesn't deserve
6,500 Kit Kats?
Yeah.
What's the street value of that?
Oh,
$10,000.
Yeah. I don't know. How much does a Kit Kat go for now? 50 cents? Am I way off?
Yeah, and movies are a nickel. I think you're a little.
How much is a Kit Kat bar? How much is it? Is it? Is it 75 cents?
It's probably a dollar.
A dollar for a Kit Kat bar?
Yeah.
Seems expensive.
Give me a break.
I mean, I could
break
see like 89 cents, but a dollar for one. Is it a king size Kit Kat bar?
Well, I think you can find deals. Like you can find like two for a dollar, like when they're clearing them out as they've like melted and then re-solidified and you get a surprise as you open it. You're like, how come chocolate turns like grayish mm-hmm. after it re-solidifies?
I don't know. All right. Well, we will see what's going on. I hope he doesn't leave any more Kit Kat bars. I hope he learned his lesson, Hunter Jobbins. Probably not because he was rewarded for what he did.
Yep. Rewarded for his bad behavior.
That's why millennials never learn.
Yeah. Well, because we just keep giving them more and more Kit Kats.
Yeah.
He should have had to, you know what?
Them for nothing.
And I hope he'll learn his lesson because all those Kit Kats in his car, The next day that it's, you know, 68 degrees outside, his car is going to be laminated in chocolate.
And those wafers?
Yeah.
Those wafers are going to be exposed like a compound fracture, just sticking right out of that chocolate.
And then it'll say, it doesn't
have to be 68 outside.
Yeah.
It only has to be 68 inside the car, which only has to be like 40 and sunny outside the car.
And then he'll tweet a picture of, oh, my, all my Kit Kats melted in my car and my Honda Civic is ruined. And then Honda's like, oh, we feel so bad for you at Jobs
and Odyssey.
Here's 11 new Civics for you.
And then Exhibit comes in, paints his whole car Kit Kat color. And then in the trunk, guess what? Kit Kat fridge. It only holds 4 Kit Kats at a time, but there's 30 of those fridges.
I apologize. He had a Camry. So Toyota is on the hook now for giving this kid 11 new Camrys after his Kit Kats melt.
So do you think this is the time for Exhibit to make his comeback?
Yes. Yes. As the spokesperson.
The Kit Kat Camry.
Kit Kat Camry.
I get the feeling that companies just sit around hoping that their brand makes the news in a good way.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
What can we do?
Before we get into this next story, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor, who are our good friends at Lyft. And boy, I love taking a Lyft anywhere I have to go because driving is just really distracting me from the things that I need to be doing, like refreshing Twitter a million times a day. But if you're one of these people who are out there looking for some extra cash and who's not, how about you earn some extra money the smart way and get a $500 bonus driving for Lyft.
What?
Yep.
LYFT FTW.
Yeah, that's right. Whether you're looking for some extra money for now or looking to put away some money for down the road or trying to do better for yourself by earning a degree, driving for Lyft lets you be your own boss, pick your own hours, and earn up to $1,500 a week driving your own car. Could you imagine it, Danny?
If it's got a mustache, I'll ride it.
Yeah. Yeah. similar to Ken Bone. That's right. There's other ride sharing apps that are out there. But everyone likes driving for Lyft the best because they treat their drivers right. Lots of people started off as customers and they now drive for Lyft. It's flexible. You can make money anytime. From anywhere. All you need is a car. You could make up to $35 an hour. Getting started is fast and easy. Drive mornings, nights, or weekends. Just flip into driver mode and start making money. Plus, only Lyft drivers can earn tips from within the app, and those add up fast. Plus, if you don't have to wait extra days or weeks to get paid, you could start out instantly with Express Pay. It all adds up. It's super flexible. You keep your own tips, and you get paid whenever you need the extra cash. I should do this. And then when my wife is mad at me, I'll just go and drive a Lyft and then just go make some extra money. Sign up today. So I'll be driving all the time. Sign up today at Lyft.com/RHAP. And we have a special offer for our listeners, $500 for a new driver bonus. When you sign up using this show, just go to Lyft.com/RHAP today so you can make some extra money and get $500 new driver bonus. That's Lyft.com/RHAP. Lyft.com/RHAP. All right. Let's talk about another company that is very excited to be back in the news. General Mills has announced a new ad campaign for Dunkaroos, which were discontinued in the United States in 2012 under the new Smuggleroos branding initiative. Tyson, should they be trying to bring attention to Dunkaroos by saying people should smuggle them in?
Yes.
Yes. This is because the company is launching a website in which Canadians are signing up to smuggle Dunkaroos across the border if they're traveling to the U.S. and delivering them directly to the American consumers. Actually, Tyson, do you think that they were inspired by your Crystal Pepsi campaign?
I think they were. I love this idea. I think the whole, like, they should start a whole website where stuff you can't get in either country can be brought across, all legal stuff, but just be like, oh, I want 10 Dunkaroos, and then you just put it on the website and where your location is, and anybody from Canada who's coming in that direction can then meet up, make the exchange,
like, but
right?
Danny, isn't this undermining the U.S. government? That isn't there a good reason why we don't have Dunkaroos in the United States?
You think
NAFTA, probably.
You know, I mean, NAFTA would mean that they could have them everywhere.
I don't know what NAFTA means, but it probably has something to do with the Dunkaroo band. If it's delicious, it should be allowed. That should be in our Constitution somewhere.
Should they lift the Dunkaroo ban?
I think so. Is it banned or did they just discontinue them?
I think it's unclear. I mean, I think they discontinued them, but did they discontinue them because they were banned?
Well, now we have to ask ourselves, why are they banned?
Yeah.
Probably because they're ridiculously unhealthy.
I wanted to bring my kids some Kinder Eggs from Europe, right? Yeah. And so I did some research and found out that Kinder Eggs are not allowed in the U.S.
Interesting.
Yeah. And there is a huge fine. It's like thousands of dollars per Kinder Egg if you try to smuggle them into the U.S.
Yeah.
Well, I've had people bring me Kinder Eggs in the country.
Well, be careful. Don't say that out loud.
Well, I think all you have to do is be like, oh, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. How are you supposed to know that?
Ignorance is not innocence.
I bet they have Kinder Eggs in Canada.
Maybe. Don't bring them across the border, though.
See, now
the
they
fine
have
is extensive.
Something that is akin to the Kinder Egg, because I was at the car wash recently and I was with my son.
Love that song.
And he like blurted out, hey, I have an idea. Why don't you buy me a Kinder Egg? And they were seemingly on the counter. I don't even know what a Kinder Egg is. And
okay.
I bought this for him. Are you saying that the car wash I go to has bootleg?
No, no. Let me be very clear. The law, the reason that they're outlawed is because there's a toy inside.
Yes.
I don't think you're allowed to put a toy inside the food.
Oh, well, so that's what he wanted.
Did the thing you buy your son have a toy inside?
Yes.
I think maybe you should call the FBI
inside so it was an egg, a chocolate egg with a toy inside of it.
It was like a cream filled egg that had like
a Cadbury egg.
Half like hazelnut cream. And there was like a scoop to like put it on like some sort of like a hazelnut. And then there was also a plastic toy. So I don't know if they got around what you were not allowed to do, or if this was bootleg, but my wife was furious and she said, that's illegal.
She knew that it was illegal?
Believe me, Danny, that there is no piece of mom news that she is not on top of. What candy is illegal? What additive is in what food that is banned?
Wow.
Yes.
So she's going to be all against the smuggleroos.
Oh, yeah. She's not going to be for that.
Mm.
No.
Wow.
No.
All I'm saying is be careful. If Canada's, if you're being asked to smuggle something, you need to look into it and find out why you're having to smuggle it instead of buy it at the store in the country you're smuggling the object to.
Mm-hmm.
So, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
how much of this could you keister, Tyson?
Of the Dunkaroos?
Yeah, how many of those packages could you keister, you think?
Well, aren't they kind of like the cheese and crackers packages?
Yeah, so one, two?
Probably like eight.
Eight?
Like, diameter-wise, or can we put them in like sausage links, like one at a time?
Yeah, or do what they do in prison and put them in a condom.
Yeah, and swallow them?
Yeah, or insert them.
Yeah, but they still have to go in that same hole.
You know who could get a job smuggling these things in is that guy who was keistering gold.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
He's all stretched out for this. He could
gold
bring
egg.
10 packages a run.
Wow.
I don't know if the image they want to go for on the Smuggleroo campaign.
Well, he's already done all the pre-stretching, so he's all ready, you know, hollowed himself out as the perfect carrying
ready
device.
To go.
Yeah, the human suitcase.
Yes, he's the human grocery bag.
Yeah,
he's ready. I mean, is that going to be something, Tyson? You're going to meet a guy at a grocery store, say, where are my Dunkaroos? And he's going to go into the squat position, grab the end of a condom and pull out a package. You still going to buy it?
And then I have to take them and swallow them
until
I get safely home.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well. Yeah. Here's a new study that came out that revealed the exact age that people can no longer wear jeans. Tyson, were you aware of this study?
I wasn't aware like of the exact science, but I definitely know that old people should not wear jeans.
Yeah, someone needs to tell Jeff Goldblum, because he's rocking the jeans and he's like 72 years old.
Well, and Larry King.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, according to this study, that they say that it is no longer appropriate to wear jeans after 53. After
Agreed.
53, jeans are no longer stylish enough to be worth buying new pairs. The study also revealed that the process of jean shopping is so stressful that 6% of people cry during the process. Mm. And 29% of people have reportedly given up on trying to find the perfect pair. All right. So let's take this in a couple parts. Tyson, 53. Does that sound right to you? Or is that too old?
It's almost too old. I think because there's a certain point where you have to stop wearing the trendy jeans and you just have to go with like the classic, like 501, or start buying Kirkland brand or something like that.
Right.
And so I think once you have, if you've graduated to the dad mom jean, you can wear them till 53. But if you're like still trying to, you know, get the latest and greatest skinny drop crotch, like no self-respecting 40-year-old should be wearing those.
Mm-hmm. Danny, that don't you think that it's wrong to put a number out there on the age limit? Because with modern medicine, they say that, you know, 60 is the new 53.
Well, now we know you've got Scrotox,
right?
So you can pull in that section of your pants and still wear some tight jeans.
Yeah.
Also, I think that sweats, now you can wear sweats because you're being told you can't wear pants. You just put on the sweatsuit, lounge around, don't wash them. I mean, what you're getting here is an excuse not to have to dress up anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sweats are in style too right now.
Right. I have a pair that was designed by Otis Bushkauskas.
Mm.
I don't even know who that is. That
one of the hottest designers,
famous designer
around. Yeah.
Oh, wow. He's making sweats. So it must be a thing. Soon sweats will be outlawed. And pretty much in a couple of years, 50-year-olds will be forced to wear one piece gray suits. You know, what do they call the one piece suit?
Unitard. A leisure suit.
Yeah. Well, a onesie. Old man onesie, stain resistant onesie for old people.
Yes.
Made out of burlap.
Yeah. Well, whatever uncomfortable material we can make them wear.
Find.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that this study is not far off the mark, but you know, some older people, obviously there's the exceptions to the rule. Some older people are fine and are stylish enough to pull a good pair of jeans off, whereas most are not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I think that Jeff Goldblum, when he wears jeans, those skinny jeans, it looks a bit strange, but he's
wears
still
them too
a
high.
Handsome man.
Yeah, he's tall. He wears them too high waisted and they're too short at the bottom. I can tell him everything that's wrong, but he's too old. That's the problem.
He doesn't
here.
Get it.
He's too old to understand. Correct.
So is the issue that you should not buy new jeans after 53, or
you can wear your existing jeans?
Wear
it
your
sounds.
Existing ones, but don't go out and try to get anything new after 53.
No, it's not worth the investment.
Not worth the
unless
investment.
Unless you want to cry. It sounds like a lot of crying.
Well,
6%
of crying. I would like to know about the 6% of people who cry that buy jeans compared to other clothing items. Danny, do you have a sense? Is that higher or lower than the percent of people who cry while buying shirts?
Well, I think that they cry because they realize the jeans will no longer work for them, and they're waking up to the realization they're old.
Yeah.
They're all woke. And so they're crying everywhere. Whereas a t-shirt, I mean, you can wear that t-shirt you got from the team building exercise in 99 for as long as you want.
Yeah.
Right. That never
it
goes
looks
out of
fine.
Style.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. The shirts you can wear a lot of different ways and they all look okay. Jeans, there's only a few set ways and everybody's different. I should say every body is different.
Yes.
Very well said. Yes.
Yeah.
The other problem is as you get older, you lose your butt, right? And so you just don't have the ability to fill out those jeans anymore, especially if you're a truck driver, because they have no butt at all.
Yeah.
So without the butt, you shouldn't wear jeans.
Okay. So let's touch on a story from Mississippi where a lawyer is suing Popeye's Chicken for failing to include a knife with his drive-in order, causing him to choke as the chicken, he was forced to eat it with his hands. They had to have emergency surgery to remove the chicken from his throat. He's seeking financial compensation and punitive damages. Tyson, does he have a case here?
This sounds like a classic case of morbid obesity.
Morbid obesity.
Maybe. Oh, so. I mean, he inhaled that chicken thinking he could swallow a whole chicken, bones and all. Are you kidding me, dude?
Yeah. They don't have a picture of the man, so we cannot refute or defend.
It's speculation, purely speculation.
So I wonder if he put in that drumstick and tried to operate it like you do when you unwrap a Starburst package in your mouth. He's like, dude, if I put the whole thing in my mouth, maybe
swish it around, tongue,
I could just chew around the bone and then just spit it out like a cartoon character.
Well, why is a knife better for that? It's not.
That's what he was attempting to do. Yeah. He's like, I can unwrap a Starburst. I should be able to unwrap the meat from this bone using just my tongue and teeth.
Mm-hmm. I think he probably swallowed the whole drumstick thinking like, I've seen this before. I'll swallow it and then I'll just cough up the entire naked bone cleaned all the way down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or do that thing where you lower it in.
Yeah. And pull it out.
And it's just all bone. Gone.
Yeah.
He believes that cartoons are actually real life.
Yeah. I'm really trying to wrap my head around if he has a case or not, because, okay, they didn't give him a knife, but then why did he have to take a bite off more than he could swallow?
Yeah. And is it bone in or is there no bones in the chicken? We also don't know that, because if there's bones in the chicken, you can't use a knife anyways, because knife, as we know, doesn't cut through bone in the classic rock, paper, scissors.
But maybe
game.
He might have found the bone if he had a knife.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but all humans are born with at least two or three built-in knives called teeth.
I mean, I don't think that too many humans are born with teeth, though, Tyson.
Some are.
That would be gross. That'd be disturbing. If my kid came out with teeth, they'd be like, that's not mine. That's not mine.
Put like that back in. Like a full grill?
Yeah.
What if it was a platinum grill, though?
Now,
that one's mine.
Do most people eat fried chicken with a knife and fork, Tyson?
Nobody does. Maybe lawyers.
But
I know lawyers and I don't think that they do.
Yeah. Interesting.
So I think he's just looking to what he should have done after this happened is been quiet and not told anybody about it.
Be embarrassed.
Yeah. But instead he advertised it and he's opening a lawsuit. So, you know, lawyers will be lawyers, man.
Yeah. Let's just do one quick follow-up on a story that we've been following for quite some time about the Canadian syrup heist. This is from one of our listeners, Tracy.
Of 2016?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
The trial of four men accused of the $18 million maple syrup heist is underway, and a bombshell was dropped this week. In testimony, the alleged ringleader of the heist admitted to trafficking the stolen syrup because his family was in danger. The man is what is known as a barrel roller, which is the name in Canada for someone who is illegally selling syrup directly from producers. And he claims that while he did not realize the syrup he was buying was stolen, the man who sold it threatened to kill his family if he did not distribute the syrup.
And these are the people we want smuggling Dunkaroos into our country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Fearless.
A huge fearless. Bombshell.
That's actually not that big of a bombshell. The Popeye guy should have used that. Said a Popeye employee forced him, threatened his family if he didn't eat the chicken, bone and all.
Didn't swallow it down.
A chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look. Man.
There's a whole syrup mafia.
That's the thing.
It sounds like it.
It's crazy. All the money in syrup. Are you kidding me? We got to get in a different game. We've been podcasting like a bunch of idiots this whole time.
Right.
We have to get into illegal syrup trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could probably keister a ton of syrup.
Dude, you could
like get a syrup enema.
This is what you do. Get a huge syrup enema, then swallow a bunch of syrup, then bathe in syrup and don't wash the residue.
With syrup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can soak your clothes in it and put them on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that the thing is about distributing the syrup. I don't know if you necessarily need to, they're syrup smugglers, right?
Yeah.
They're syrup thieves and they need to if anything, you would need like some big like trench coat, like filled with syrup bottles that you could go and like be trying to just move this syrup to different people.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me wonder how much legal syrup I've consumed in my lifetime.
Yeah, right? You don't know.
Maybe I'm part of the problem. I am contributing to this, like drugs from Mexico. We're feeding that industry. And now I know that I'm feeding the syrup industry, crime industry up in Canada. I'm part of the problem.
Yeah.
My love of syrup is driving this.
Yeah. Danny will drink a shot glass of syrup every morning
to wake me up, get me going.
Well,
loop the joints.
What's good for the goose?
You need to make sure that your syrup is cruelty free. A lot of the syrup that's out there is blood syrup.
Now I know. And the more you know,
blood syrup.
Yeah. Yep. I'm using blood syrup. I don't feel good. I need to take a shower in syrup.
You might.
Do you think Leonardo DiCaprio is going to make a movie about this?
Well, we got to wait. We got to wait and see. Because really what you have to hope for is that the syrup that you're putting on your pancakes every morning came from some sort of a cruelty-free, and you have to hope the tree wasn't harmed also. And then you have to hope that somebody's family wasn't like held at gunpoint while that syrup was illegally distributed.
And by the way, was that extraction from the tree consensual? I mean, you put your thing into that tree. I'm with you. I don't know how we're going to find. I mean, we do need, maybe that's what we could do. Podcast AF could go out and make this cruelty-free syrup
by seducing a bunch of trees.
Okay. Let's put a pin in that and see if we can get.
What should we call the company?
Going. Cruelty-free syrup?
You like that? I think three bros and a syrup.
Three bros and a syrup.
Yeah. Hmm.
Trying to
three twins syrup.
Cruelty-free. Is there anything with syrup AF?
There
syrup
you go. AF. I mean, that works. AF at the end of anything seems to work these days.
That seems to help. Yeah. All right.
Tyson syrup.
Yeah. Let's just go with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cause we could piggyback off of the chicken company, and then chicken and waffles would be like, boom,
we got it. All right. Yep. Danny, every week we like to check in for Danny's corner, AKA Danny's bolt hole. Danny, what stories are you following at this hour?
First of all, I came across the word bolt hole the other day in legitimate news. So it's good to know that that word is in circulation among professionals. Just, I'm a professional.
It's out there.
Yeah, that's what you wanted everybody to know. In short, I'm a professional.
Okay, guys, big news from Russia. Okay. Now, some of us have been to college. Tyson went for a while. And we probably had to take a couple science classes, biology, maybe chemistry. But this teacher in Russia, he took his lecture to the next level. He was teaching a lesson on what is called, let's find it, microscopic anatomy.
Okay.
And during his lecture, removed his clothing.
All the way down?
All the way, completely naked.
Why?
So nobody knows, but I'm guessing that something on his body had to do with microscopic anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wanted everyone to have a real life lesson about, hey, this is microscopic.
So you think he was a micro penis owner?
It's possible. I mean, we don't really get to see in the video because like most videos on the internet.
Wait, we can tell. We'll be able to tell if he has a micro penis.
How?
If they show what kind of car he drives.
Well, oh, was it like a very nice car?
Or by the size of the blur. The blur's pretty big. So I'm not 100% certain.
Does he have a Toyota Camry?
It doesn't say. I'm scanning here. Maybe I'll do a background check on his Facebook page.
Oh my God. Did you hear that pun, Rob?
Yeah, I heard
it.
What was it?
Kit Camry. Kit Camry.
He has a microscopic Kit Camry.
No, that's his car. The Kit Camry. The Toyota Kit Camry.
Guys, he didn't put his clothes back on until students started fleeing the room.
Okay. Mm. And did he get a raise?
Let's say you're in his class. Do you flee the classroom? Because some of these people are fleeing in a very panicked state.
I think what I would do is video. I would video it.
Yeah, I don't think I'd run out. I think I'd be interested in seeing what happened next.
Yeah, where is this going?
Is he going to jump up and take a dump on the lecturing thing?
Is he keistering? Is he going to keister stuff? Syrup? Is syrup coming out of him?
Yeah. Is he about to distribute syrup to the class?
Well, I have the video of this. I looked it up. I didn't know there was a streaming video of it. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this is from the professor where he is. I guess somebody started filming all this. I haven't heard this yet. So he's standing in front of the class. And now people are just running out, and he's still going. Yeah, We can't really hear anything there in terms of
he's not even lecturing. He's letting his body teach the lesson.
Yeah, but he is standing behind the podium, so it is hard to tell what's going on there.
I think there's about to be a big reveal if you keep watching it. Or a little reveal.
Yeah.
A little reveal.
A shocking reveal.
Very, very
shocking.
Very shocking. And then he walks off. Yeah, but there's a blur, so we don't really know. Hard to say.
But the blur's pretty big.
Also, I'm not sure he's wearing underwear. He's just putting pants back on.
So anyway, I mean, if only all your lectures could be that exciting, Tyson, you probably would have stayed in school.
Yeah. You think the kids were just looking for an excuse to cut class? Like they weren't even like disturbed or anything, like, oh, teacher's naked. Yeah. We're out of here. We're triggered.
Yeah. No, I get two periods for lunch.
Yeah. I bet we could get some free shit out of this.
Yeah.
They leave.
Okay. Danny, anything else that you're following?
Yeah. I've got one more story, and this is maybe an interesting one for those who are trying to lose weight. I brought up a story last week about virtual reality and some of the downsides, but what I have right now is one of the upsides, because scientists in Japan think they have found a way to help people lose weight using virtual reality.
Okay.
Are you interested, Rob?
I'm sure. Surely I'm interested.
Sign me up.
Mm-hmm. So what they do is they have you eat food, but they increase the size of the food using VR. So they want to trick the body into thinking that it's eating more.
That's probably what happened to that guy at Popeyes, where he thought he had his VR headset on and then was eating gigantic bites of the chicken and then realized, oh, wait, this isn't virtual reality.
This is real life.
Yeah.
It's hard to distinguish between the two.
The Russian student should have handed out these VR goggles to enlarge certain properties of his anatomy. But anyway, it tricks the mind into thinking that it's eating a larger portion. And they claim that it helps you reduce the amount of food you eat by 10% by just using this little trick.
Yeah.
10% would not be enough for me to lose weight. I need to cut my diet in like half.
Yeah.
So it's not for you. This is not for you. This is for those people looking to shave maybe the last pound or two off, you know, on their diet.
This could be good on a date. Figure.
Also, because if you don't want to spend as much money on the date, you could have your date wear the VR goggles. And then it's like, oh, no, that's a 16 ounce porterhouse.
Yeah.
And you really got like the 8.
Or you could do a meatloaf.
Do you think you could use these goggles to trick your body into keistering more syrup?
Oh.
If you made it look like you were using less syrup.
Yeah, like a little teeny tiny syrup.
Little teeny tiny. You could probably trick your body into absorbing more syrup and thus, you know, as a result, make a ton more money when you squirt it into a bucket on the south part of the border.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Sign me up. VR.
There's just more uses for this technology than weight loss. And I think that we should examine those maybe in our free time and put together a business plan.
So yeah. Last time you were anti-VR, and now it seems like you've come full circle.
Yeah. Now that I've found out that it can help you diet and keister more syrup, it sounds like there's a lot of ups to virtual reality.
Yeah. I think we haven't even touched the surface.
I'm in on the virtual reality. Yeah. Google Cardboard.
Wow. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
You can start the diet right away, Rob. Why don't you try this out?
I need the app. I feel like there's not enough things to watch on Google Cardboard.
There isn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also think that my nose is too big for Google Cardboard. I think that they need to come up with another version.
A big nose version.
That have a bigger nose. Cause I feel like that, like the bridge of my nose is just like pushing the thing too far off.
I might
get rhinoplasty. I might get a nose job to get the Google Cardboard to work right.
Do like a swoop so it's like flat against your face, like, and then just sort poke like out of the bottom.
Shave this down over like a Pinocchio. The bridge of my nose. I think I would work better.
Why don't you get a custom built like kind of shelf, perfect for sunglasses? You could customize your nose so that it really holds those sunglasses and VR goggles in place.
Ooh. Yeah.
Maybe if I got like an X-Acto knife, I could make some alterations to the Google Cardboard.
I wouldn't do that. Oh yeah, do that. That's to your face. I was like, do not.
No, I mean, well, let me try it on the cardboard first, and if that doesn't work, then I could do the surgery.
Okay. Well, right, I think you're beautiful just the way you
are.
Welcome
into the bolt hole, and now it's time for you to return to your normal lives.
Yes, yes. All right. Any election results to report on yet, Danny?
Rob, this is just in. People are voting, and they are voting for both candidates. We just don't know who's received the most votes yet. And this reporter, for one, does not care who wins. Thank you.
Wow. Okay.
So going to Popeyes.
You're fine either way.
Yeah. Either way, we lose as a country.
All right. Tyson, any news to report yet on your end?
None on my end, but I am surprised that people are voting for both candidates. So here we go. I do have news on my end that is unrelated politically.
Thank goodness.
It's our 5-star review of the week.
That's something positive to look forward to.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Okay. So what are you seeing at this hour?
Revolution of the News Industry, 5-star by Blue Phantom.
Ooh, cool name.
Okay.
Are you tired of the same old boring, depressing, and heartless news?
Yes.
Do you ever turn on the TV after a long, hard day and just want to unwind to relevant, actual, factual news?
For sure.
Yes, have you settled for the outdated and rusty news outlets? If you answered yes to any of those questions, then join the news revolution that is News AF. From accurately predicting the downfall of Ken Bones to covering the world of science with Bodie McBoatface, and even being the only news source to warn us about the impending galactic salt mine threat, News AF truly has it all. If you aren't convinced yet, all you have to do is listen to it for 2 minutes and you will be hooked with Rob, Danny, and Tyson's insightful and hilarious commentary on all the relevant AF news of our day. Join the news revolution that is happening right now.
Wow.
Wow. If I ever write a book, I'm going to put that critique on the book jacket, even though it's not relevant to my book.
That was great. That was a great review. You can leave your review. Go to newsaf.news to leave us a review in the iTunes store. And also, just some final breaking news at this hour covering all of our bases of social media and also Ken Bone. There's a hashtag on Twitter today. Use the hashtag MyVote2016. And there is a Ken Bone emoji, which pops up on your thread.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. There you go. Apparently, this is part of a marketing campaign from Izod, who tapped Ken Bone probably before they read his Reddit comments, because they are the makers of red sweaters.
So, they're trying to get the boner out there, back in the public eye.
They're trying to
give everyone a boner.
I don't know if people have
given boners away for free.
Yeah, so use hashtag MyVote2016 for a Ken Bone emoji. All right. What's the hashtag for our show today? Syrup AF, hashtag Kit Camry.
Hashtag I'm with Rob.
I'm with Rob. No, don't do that.
Why?
Nobody should stand. Nobody should be with me.
I think Kit Camry. You're not going to find any other Kit Camrys out there.
That's right. Yeah. I think we had a pretty strong take on that. That we side with the hashtag Kit Kat Thief on that one.
Yeah.
Kit Kat Hero.
Kit Kat Savior.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Give me a break with this story, all right? So, all right, great job once again by the News AF team, starting with News AF intern Lita, who is curating all of the stories, of course, through Scott St. Pierre, who edits the News AF podcast, and also down to all of our dedicated News AF reporters who are out there sending us stories every week, tips at newsaf.news. And of course, Tyson is on Twitter, at Tyson Apostle, and at Danny Bryson. And we are all in our News AF Facebook group, Group AF. So many moving parts on every week of News AF.
It's all the cogs, man.
All the cogs. Mm-hmm. All right. Everybody will be back again 1 week from today, assuming that the United States it doesn't get under martial law or anything like that following the election. So have a good one. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Shakas. We did it, guys.
We did it.
I have to pee so bad.